Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, not allowed to say interesting. I say that way too much, but I think this is pretty cool. I have a Mr. Holland on the line with me. That's very cool. Murray Holland is an author. The book is The Debt Trap. DebtTrap.org is a website. Fiscal Cliff, it's behind us. Now we've got the debt ceiling in front of us, and it's all about money and debt, and the man to talk to us about it is Mr. Murray Holland. Welcome, Mr. Holland.
David, how are you?
I'm doing well, Murray. Good to talk to you. Pleasure having you on the program. How did you time this to where you've got a book on fiscal responsibility or irresponsibility, some would argue, and here you are presenting it to the world right when we're about to just finish the fiscal cliff, and now we're facing up to a debt ceiling? How'd you plan it so well, or did you know we would be in this situation for a while?
2 years ago, my background, by the way, I was a corporate and securities lawyer and investment banker, and then I became CEO of three corporations that were international, a lot of employees, et cetera. And I was trying to decide what to do with my own net worth that I'd built over the years. And a couple of years ago, and decided to actually do a full investment banking analysis of our country's financial position, market, et cetera. And a number of people asked me for my results, and so I decided just to put it in the form of a book, which I've done. And the book is just being completed and will be published very shortly by a large publishing company. And it is on the federal government and the debt and debt problems we're facing and what it means to the federal government, our economy, and each individual.
I'm afraid to ask, Murray. I think I know the answer. I'm going to definitely read the book myself as soon as it's available, Debt Trap. And can they pre-order that on the website?
No, but it'll be available in stores and everywhere very soon. So okay. They'll be able to get it, but they can preview it on the website.
Okay, good. Good, debttrap.org. Well, I know what it's going to say, and it's going to say we got problems.
Yeah, and the reason I did the research myself and did all the banking work on it was because you can get all kinds of bits and pieces out of the press about you hear language, we're in trouble, et cetera, but you don't know what the reality is and what the real numbers are. It's hard for anybody to understand it. So what I have done is actually put the whole thing together so it's very understandable to everybody. And unfortunately, my research shows that we are in far worse financial condition than even is being talked about today.
Well, maybe I know the answer, but why is it that it's worse than they're telling us? Is it they don't want to scare us, or is somebody trying to pull a fast one on us, or is it all the above?
No, it's all the above. And the problem with the whole situation, and I get down to finally a chapter in my book on the psychology that goes on in Washington, D.C., and Congress and administration and bureaucrats, et cetera. And they are politicians. They do not think like an objective businessman would think and work on problems and get things fixed. That's not what they're there for, and that's not what they do. And the consequences of that kind of behavior are going to be felt by all of us here pretty shortly. To give people a tone for what we're really up against is we have a $16.5 trillion deficit, and five trillion of that's actually money that's been borrowed from our own trust funds, like Social Security, retirees trust funds, et cetera. So we're just under $12 trillion that we owe to third parties that we borrowed in real cash from them. So we have a gross domestic product of about $16 trillion, just under $16 trillion. And so that's really a debt to GDP of 75%, more or less. And that's under the big problem countries, for instance, in Europe, such as Spain, France, Italy, and then the real problem countries like Greece that hit about 180% debt to GDP, Cyprus, Ireland, Portugal, and Iceland. But that's not the extent of our debt and our debt problems. We have a pension fund for our federal employees that includes all of our military employees. And that pension fund, like all pension funds, is funded with very little bit of money up front. And over the years, that grows and the returns grow, and then you're able to pay the pensioners out of that.
This is those unfunded liabilities that we talk about, right?
That's correct. And so we have unfunded liabilities in the federal system. This is just federal system. We have unfunded liabilities as a report by just the trustees of this fund of $7.5 trillion. So we add that And that's just like a debt. That's the present value of it. It's actually a much bigger number over the years, but that's the present value of it. So if we continue the kind of low interest rate environment that we've got now, that number increases. It doesn't decrease, it increases. And, of course, all the government entities, and by the way, the states have made assumptions for their pensions that they get returns in the 8 to 10% range.
Right.
And, of course, that's outrageous. And it looks like the state pensions, underfunded in pensions, the present value is around $4 trillion.
Mm-mm-mm.
And so all these governments, our federal government and our state government, have obligations to actually pay those and fund those, which means taxes, which means it hurts the economy, et cetera. And then we have, if that's not a bad enough problem, we have the underfunding in our social programs, which are primarily Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, and Social Security, and all the myriad of other smaller programs. And that underfunding is such a stupendous number. There isn't enough money in all the, if you took everybody's savings in the entire United States to pay that number is somewhere in the $50 to $80 trillion range. And so the morass of stupidity and the morass of financial irresponsibility that goes on now in Washington and in Congress and with these administrations has been so horrendous that we are faced now, citizens are faced now with the kind of situation that we've witnessed here in the last few years throughout Europe.
Well, so I guess the question is going to be how we're going to deal with it. And we're going to answer that, Murray, in just a minute. We're going to take a quick break. Before we do, the website for Murray's upcoming book is debttrap.org. The book, of course, is Debt Trap. And Murray, we're going to be right back after the short break. Stay right there.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Murray Holland's our guest. We were talking before we started the program, maybe related, maybe not, way back when, but no immediate relationship, but getting to know Murray Holland on the line with his author of the book, Debt Trap, debttrap.org. And while we're on that break, Murray, our national debt went up about $2 million.
Doesn't take long.
No, I'm watching the U.S. If anybody's curious, they can get a quick number. USdebtclock.org was the website I always go to and take a quick look. And that number, all those numbers are just flying by.
They are.
So here's the big obvious question, because I think that there have been all sorts of estimates done, and some of the ones you're sharing with us before the break are they're pretty horrendous, and you know we all wonder how we got here, and of course it doesn't take long to figure out spending more than you're taking in, and also having these unfunded liabilities where you use a pay as you go approach as opposed to actually setting aside money for whatever benefits you've promised as you are getting the benefit, I suppose, of that person's contribution in whatever way it is to a pension or whatever it is. So going forward, I mean, aside from printing $1 trillion platinum coins, what's to do? What is a government and citizens of what we thought was a great country and hopefully could be again, what are we to do about this?
Well, the problem that we're facing is faced by all kinds of businesses all the time. And if we had business people actually running this government instead of politicians, we would decide, prioritize the things that we have to do, such as which, if we want to do healthcare, exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. If we want to spend our money on defense, we'll do that, but not spend more than we're taking in. So we get in about, this last year, we took in about just under $2.5 trillion in cash receipts.
Yeah, that's $200 billion a month. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. But here's the reason why I've named my book The Debt Trap is because we've already, with the debt that we've actually borrowed to date, we have essentially sealed the fate of the next 20 to 40 years of citizens, and here's how we've done it. Today, we're in an interest rate environment of around 2%. Our federal debt is costing us about 2%, which is an extremely low rate for a number of reasons. Historically, over the last 50 years, we've averaged about 6% on debt. And so if we apply that 6% to just the debt that we have borrowed from third parties, so let's make it a round number of $12 trillion. If we apply that 6%, which is the average yield, which we will be paying one way or another, here on average over the next 50 years, That's about $720 billion a year, and we're taking in only $2.5 trillion. So before we get started on any programs, including defense, managing the government, and then all of the entitlements, and entitlements right now today, entitlements and all the social programs, we're spending $2.2 trillion a year today. So,
and we know those numbers are going to go up, right?
Yeah, and they're going up. And so if we take in $2.5 trillion and we spend $720 billion on just on the interest rate, we now only have $1.8 trillion left for everything, which includes military and all of our entitlement programs and all the other government operations.
And well, so and I'm looking at those numbers, Murray. If I'm hearing you correctly, when our interest rates get back to more of a normal rate for debt that we our national debt and for the new money, hopefully all of it won't go to 6%, but a lot of the stuff that's purchased is 10-year notes. But it's almost a half a trillion-dollar increase in interest once rates go back to where they were.
That's it. So even if we do have an increase in tax receipts from a better economy, that all gets eaten up by the interest rate increases. And then that's not even taking into account the market will risk assess our debt. The beginning of the end has been for all the countries in Europe we've seen recently, our debt rating reductions. And we've already experienced that. Standard & Poor's has downgraded us. Fitch has downgraded us. All of the rating agencies, with the exception of Moody's, has downgraded us. And Moody's has indicated that they're waiting till the end of this cycle to decide what we do on the debt ceiling to see if Congress is really capable of managing the budget and the fiscal problems here. And I'm expecting that they won't be able to do it here. To my satisfaction, probably not to Moody's. So I'm anticipating a downgrade by Moody's. And this is the beginning of the end, because the only reason people invest in our securities is because they feel confident that the federal government will pay them back. And once you get into a situation where you financially cannot pay them back, which is exactly what will happen if interest rates go back to 6%, we physically will not pay them back, because we're not going to take, and we will be forced into a balanced budget. I'll explain that in a second. But we will not take over about a third of our cash tax receipts and pay interest instead of paying social programs.
Well, it'll be just pure competition for those dollars. And when voters vote, they're going to vote their self-interest, unfortunately, as opposed to what's good for the country. So there's no way they'll be able to reduce those benefits, or they may face an exit from Congress. Murray, let's take another quick break. I want to come back and hear about the balanced budget component of this. Murray Holland's with us today, ladies and gentlemen. Debt Trap is the book. DebtTrap.org is the website. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Murray Holland is joining us. He's an author. The book is Debt Trap. DebtTrap.org is the website. And one of the pieces, I think, that of a lot of, I guess, thoughts or strategies about how to deal with these debt challenges that our country faces is trying to have some sort of balanced budget amendment or a backbone amendment, if you will, that forces the legislatures, our elected officials, to go up there in Washington and actually work out a deal and not just argue or point fingers, but actually put together a deal that balances the budget.
Yeah, and that won't ever happen here without a balanced budget amendment. And what we've seen, the behavior of particularly all these European countries, is that they will borrow up until the market says no.
Right, right.
And that's what's going on here in the United States. They're using up all of our debt capacity in this country for spending during a time where we don't have a national crisis going on, except they're creating this one. And so what happens with most governments is they'll keep borrowing and borrowing until the market tells them no. And the way the market starts telling them no is they increase the interest rate steadily and surely as they perceive there's risk in actually getting paid back. And I talk about this quite a bit in the book and show the graphs of what's happened to these countries. In particular, Greece has been an excellent, excellent history for us. They borrowed money until the market told them no, and their interest rates followed a path of they were pretty low interest rates in the single digits. went up into the teens during late 2010 and 11, and then hit 50% before the default.
Yeah.
And then when the default hit, of course, all the bondholders took a bad hit, and that's what will happen. There'll be a version of that happen here, because the countries, even Greece, did not have to default on their bonds. They could have taken, it would have cost them almost all the cash they took in taxes to pay the interest, but they would have to forget paying pensioners and forget the social programs.
That's not going to happen, right?
Yeah, and so these countries get to decide for themselves if they want to default. And any country would obviously rather stiff the bondholders than have all their citizens up in arms.
Well, I think the challenge, Murray, is that, you know, when you have somebody elected to Congress, elected by the voters, if they don't have the ability to say, look, I try to do this, I try to do that, but this amendment made me do it, I didn't have a choice, until we have that, there's going to be this natural propensity for self-preservation of getting reelected, and they're not going to ever, quote-unquote, put their collective foot down.
That's it.
You know, and again, you have among your very substantial experience, part of it was also working as a lawyer.
Yes.
Don't take this personally, but I think we need to trade some business people for lawyers in Congress, because they need to not be good at arguing that the other side is wrong. They need to be good at working as business people, because we're never going to get this fixed if they don't.
Right, exactly. And this is a big problem, and a disturbing bit of news today was during Obama's administration, he says, I am not going to negotiate, I'm going to stick to my guns, and we're going to spend all this money. And that, to me, is the problem. And I talk about this in my book. Instead of having a lot of rational people sitting down admitting we have a problem, and then let's figure out how to deal with it. For instance, a lot of the fixes can happen, particularly in healthcare. We can keep the level of services up just by applying smart business techniques all around the country and reduce the cost of it.
Well, I tell you, Murray, this healthcare thing is another thing. I saw something cross the headlines about, you know, the cost of healthcare going up, and people saying, you know, it's always the employees, and it's killing businesses to the point where a lot of them are stopped offering healthcare altogether. But I tell you what, I want to take one more quick break, Murray, and we'll come back. The book is debttrap.org, Murray Holland, and that's soon to be released, and we'll be right back.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
And we're back. Murray Holland has joined us, and we've got just a couple minutes here, Murray, to wrap this up and kind of give what I'm hoping are some little threads of hope of what we can do to resolve this. The book is Debt Trap, debttrap.org. If you, for 2 minutes, here we go, Murray, here's your challenge. If you could say what we need to do, tell those folks in Washington what we need to do, or tell the American taxpayer what we need to do, have at it.
We need to put businessmen in Congress and in the administration.
All right.
It's that simple. If we had businessmen in there, we could figure out wildly, wildly complex, like healthcare, there is no, this is the answer. But it's more of a businessman's approach to solving the problem and being able to provide a higher level of service at a substantially lower cost. And so my advocacy would be to put MBAs.
Maybe a few CPAs too would help.
CPAs and MBAs in Congress and in the administration to do all this. That would be my solution.
Yeah, and I think that in order to make this work, there's going to have to be people that, golly, not so much want to be on television and, you know, all the grandstanding that goes on and who's bringing home the bacon or pork or who's been more successful with their talking points or one-liners. And there's just the negotiation. I mean, you know, this whole thing with the fiscal cliff, there couldn't have been a better example of they had this deal in place that forced them, the fiscal cliff, effective January of 2013, forced them to cut spending if they couldn't come to a deal. So then they come to a deal that actually lets them increase spending and only raise taxes as a way to try to meet the expenses. And we still have to raise the debt on top of raising taxes.
Right. And the fiscal cliff deal, I would have much preferred going over the fiscal cliff than the deal they got, because we could have cut the budget $500 billion this year and which would have cut it in half and been on the way.
And taxes still would have gone up. Now, they would have gone up for more people, granted, but the spending is on top of the interest that we have to pay. The spending is the real challenge.
Yeah, the spending is the problem. If you study our spending over the last 40 years, it's the spending that has got totally out of control, and it's the social program spending. Things like military have actually gone down as a percent of GDP, and social programs have gone from 20% when Kennedy was around to over 60% of the budget today.
All right, Murray. Well, we're going to have to stop on that point. Murray Holland is our guest. He's helped us understand just how big of a debt trap we may be in. The book is Debt Trap. The website is debttrap.org. Murray, thank you very much for being on the program.
David, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.